Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
There are lots of unknowns taking place in our world today, things that are causing panic and an urgency to prepare, things that make our hearts break and our minds boggle. However, we have hope because Jesus has overcome the world, and we who believe in Him can live as overcomers. John 16:33 says, "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So join in the conversation as we learn some truths about being an overcomer. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And as we talk about being an overcomer, we have encouragement in this verse that we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's a powerful statement, Sharon. And when I see that we have victory, it's already obtained, then I ask myself, victory for what? Or victory over what?
Right.
And it takes me back to this 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 54, it starts to talk to us about death. And death is swallowed up in victory. Does that mean we're going to live forever?
Oh, I see.
All right.
So if we start thinking about, like, physically.
Yes.
And okay.
So, but you know, there is truth to that because, in essence, for people that know the Lord, they can comprehend this statement. We don't die. We sleep.
Right.
When our spirit departs from our physical body for a season, but we are still alive, having fellowship with the Lord wherever He has chosen to hold our spirits. For the scriptures say that if we depart from these physical bodies, our presence is with the Lord.
Right.
And we don't understand all of the details of that mystery because He didn't think it was necessary to give us all those details.
That's why we require faith.
That's right. So really the victory is that we don't have to know an eternal death.
Okay.
And Sharon, as we learn more and more about the eternal death, we learn, although I cannot explain to you the physics today, we learn that eternity intensifies as it progresses. That's why Ephesians 3 says we can't comprehend what He has stored up for us.
Right.
But with the same token, there is a sobering warning that eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ, then the other option is the lake of fire. And that will also intensify in its destruction throughout eternity. And I can't comprehend that.
Janie, that should just break our hearts, those of us who know the Lord Jesus, to be a witness, to share the gospel. I mean, we should be doing that anyway, but do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
We've got to get our focus off of our 3-foot circle around ourselves and lift up our heads.
Sharon, I have to admit there are times that I have realized that I don't have the intensity of commitment that I need to for the time that I've been called to live in. This is not the day of easyism in any shape or form, and that should give us such an intensity to fulfill where the Lord says that He has already blessed us with everything that we need to live here the way He wants us to, and not to become slack. And because we are feeling pressure of the culture that we live in, and I'm not sure that some of us are just not wanting to slack off a little bit.
Well, and the pressure that we're feeling from the culture, from the evil that's all around us, is taking us one of two directions. We're either going to be overwhelmed and succumb to complacency or fear or giving up, or we're going to trust in the Lord and walk in being overcomers as the Lord has called us to be.
But you know, Sharon, if somebody may be saying, I cannot handle anymore, what do we women have a tendency to do when we have just had more than what we can handle?
I'm not sure.
We go shop.
Oh, we find something to fill our time.
Yes.
Or, well, it's a defense mechanism, isn't it? We escape somehow, whether it's shopping or watching a feel-good movie or getting into a feel-good book. I mean, we don't want to deal with the stress of the struggle.
Have you ever considered shopping for spiritual bargains? I mean, I know what it's like to go to certain stores and shop for the bargains. I won't touch anything if it's over $10. It's no matter how much it was originally priced at. But I got to thinking about, do I go shop for spiritual bargains?
I've never thought about shopping for a spiritual bargain, Janie.
Well, in the spiritual realm, do we seek the best value for our purchases or our investments that we make in our lives? I'll not be satisfied with anything but the very best. And so let's just take our physical shopping. Sometimes on the bargain basement, you know, you're really picky about what you're going to get for 90% off. I mean, if it's got a pick in it or something. I started to buy something the other day, and my daughter said, Mother, there's three little picks here that could cause a run. Well, even though the garment was great and I probably could have mended them, I put it back on the rack.
Oh, right.
Because
right.
It wasn't the best value. And so the other thing that I thought about in shopping, if I found, and by the way, I did that day, I found something that just met the perfect need. But Sharon, it wasn't on sale.
Oh, of course.
But because it met the perfect need, I paid the price.
Ah.
So spiritually, do we pay the price that the Lord has called us to be? And in our discussion today, called to be an overcomer, are we willing to pay the highest price that it might take to have that fulfilled in our life?
You know, Janie, I don't know that we understand the cost. You know, because we tend to say Jesus paid it all.
Which he did.
So we don't really count the cost. We forget that verse to count the cost. So I don't know that we understand what it really means to pay the price.
Well, probably the first thing we should define, Sharon, so that people can have confidence and rest, and that is, we don't buy, if we're talking in the purchasing mode now, we don't buy our salvation.
Oh, right.
By any sacrifice that we can make. But we can claim the call that has been given to us about denying our self-life.
Well, you know, in Revelation that we talked about with Laodicea, he tells them to buy gold from him and white garments from him. So what's the purchase price of that buying? I mean, if we want to talk about what the Lord means when he says buy.
Well, he lets us know that he made a purchase and it cost him everything so that we could freely have the gift of eternal life. So we need to recognize that he's saying, I've given you life. Now, deny your selfishness in how you live and make good the purchase, as you said, of being willing to suffer. You just mentioned the qualifications at the church at Laodicea. And Laodicea didn't think they had anything that they needed. They had it all. They were satisfied. They had really been shopping.
Right.
And they no longer needed anything outside of themselves.
Okay.
And that included understanding the mind of God and even wanting the Lord Jesus Christ to be in their presence. They could do everything themselves.
So really, our purchasing power is just a choice.
Oh,
to choose.
Yeah. Okay, good point. Yeah, yes.
So when we talk about the buying or the purchase, It's a choice. The scriptures say, I set before you life and death. Choose life.
Well, but I like what you just said, Sharon. We have purchasing power.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the choice then to purchase the things that matter to the Lord Jesus Christ and to our eternal destiny, not to mention the ministry that He has given us here to give Him glory.
So the cost is the denial of self.
Yes.
The cost is the sacrifice to live for Him.
Yes. You've made it so simple, Sharon. Well, I'm going to run us over to 1 Corinthians 15:57, which talks about the victory that we have in what we've just described. So
right.
Let's just do a mini recap right here. So now we're talking about victory.
Uh-huh.
Victory from what? Victory over death. Death that goes on forever and ever and ever if you don't know the Lord and you're separated from Him.
Mm-hmm.
But victory that when it's time for our souls and our spirits to finish our walk here, we don't have to worry or fear death because the Lord says that we have our bodies simply asleep, but our spirit and souls remain alive in His presence. Now, we don't understand the complexity of that, but by faith, as we've talked about, that can be a reality.
Well, the Lord gives us some encouragement and instruction on how to walk in this faith and walk as overcomers. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord."
Sharon, that is so good because we need to go back to what we have said so many times, and that is that our faith is in the facts, which is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so factually, Jesus Christ died on the cross and made our whole conversation a living reality. But He has said that it is consummated in the church. So the fact of what He did to set us free from death into life is going to be proven and brought into fruition by the church, the believers.
Okay.
And that should be a real desire to wanting to fulfill that call and that request as an overcomer. We can't be slack and half-hearted if we are going to be the one that consummates the fruit of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, because He didn't do something half-hearted when He went to the cross.
Right.
And so, Sharon, we really do believe that we're living in the closing hours of this time. We don't know whether that's 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years. It might be 60 years. It could be more, because every generation that truly walked with the Lord was looking for that blessed hope.
Right.
Was hoping that they would be the generation that would be caught up to meet Him in the clouds.
Well, since the days of Jesus, it is the last days. From that time to today has been all the last days.
And that's hard when we think about if you live to be 80 years old, the last 20 are your last days.
Right.
But that goes to show you that we are serving a God that is not bound by time.
Mm-hmm.
He's timeless. And there's one point here that I may want to take a little rabbit trail off on, and that is, Sharon, when we talk about this, we are not promoting that you live forever because you have perfect health because Jesus Christ did this on the cross. We know that even though our souls and spirit are safe, we still live in an unredeemed body that has not been given our spiritual body. We're still in these old earthly bodies. So I want to bring out a sobering point, Sharon, and that is, the Lord can take the natural laws that reign here on earth and He can use them as a tool to awaken us through our physical limitations to produce in us a divine deliverance so that we are built up and being conformed to His likeness. So He can take an affliction and without necessarily being the author of that affliction, working through the natural laws to give us a divine deliverance so that we are built up to be the overcomers, to overcome what He's called us to. So I want people to recognize is sometimes we need to wake up to our physical afflictions rather than just run to the doctor to get another pill.
You know, Janie, I think we've become so dependent on doctors, and not that doctors are bad, but we've become so dependent on doctors and the healthcare system and things like that, that we really haven't learned how to rely upon the Lord in a way that helps us become overcomers. And as we're talking about being overcomers, Janie, we probably should define that word, because I think, you know, we might be talking a little Christianese here. So let's define the word overcomer.
That's an excellent suggestion. And so let's just keep it simple.
Okay.
And that is, an overcomer is someone who faces all of the challenges in their life with one attitude: God will be faithful no matter what. And in the book of Revelations, that overcomer word is used 15 times. Mm. It's a big deal to the Lord. So what do we do when we overcome? Since we know it's an attitude that says we're trusting God in everything, no matter what. Well, there's some things that we can, let's use the word, augment in the way that we overcome. And I'm not saying that you should never have a pill.
Right. Or never go to the doctor. We're not saying that.
We're not saying that at all. But we're just saying that if you go to the doctor, it's the Lord that's got to direct the doctor. If you have a medication, the Lord knows which ones that will actually aid the lack in your body and which ones can be destructive.
Right.
But Sharon, practically, we need to refuse the ways of the world, the way the world does everything for pleasure, the way the world encourages the flesh to be on top of everything. Have you ever just had a thought or thinking or an emotion and you thought, I know that's not right, but that's how I feel?
Oh, Janie, you're stepping on my toes.
So part of denying self in being an overcomer is that we relinquish our right to have our self-indulgence in how we feel, because we feel justified.
Well, and I think what happens is, if we are not aware of that, if we're not looking for that, then we act out on those feelings, and it just takes us down a road of destruction. If we would just deny those feelings and take it back to the scriptures, and I've done this, I've done it both ways. Believe me.
Well, I rejoice that you've done it right. And I thank God for His grace when you haven't.
Oh, yes, yes.
Likewise for myself.
Right. So we need to be mindful to practice denying yourself, because we get into this rut of just allowing our emotions or our feelings, or maybe it's fear, because there's so much going on in the world today that causes fear. And so we have to be mindful that fear is going to try to attack us and get us to react to the fear. So practicing going back to the scriptures and getting the divine truth of His word to overcome the fear is a practice, a process that if we don't start somewhere, we'll never start.
Well, and if we let fear have a foothold, then it's going to paralyze our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And Sharon, as soon as that happens, with fear as the authority, we quench and grieve the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And when we do, we are left to our own understanding and our own ingenuity of then how to function. So how can I do a quick gauge on if I'm really in the Spirit functioning so fear cannot traumatize and paralyze? And one chapter that I go to all the time is 1 Thessalonians 5.
Okay.
My word, I guess I'd like to do the whole chapter, but we don't have time. So I'll just quickly say that because Christ died for us, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. There's some confidence. So now we comfort one another. And then we need to recognize how each one of us are working together in this body to build one another up to be overcomers. And then we're to be at peace amongst ourselves. Oh, no striving. The emotions can't be running our...
And when you say amongst yourself, you don't mean yourself. You mean,
I mean anybody
with each other.
You and me and everybody that's around us. Then we've got some other things that we have to do. We need to warn those that are unruly, and that's not popular. So we have a tendency to be really slack there. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all.
We tend to pat people on the head rather than warn.
Yes.
And just tell them everything's going to be okay.
And when that happens, then they slip down into their own management in their soul, and that's where the enemy comes to attack.
So we're not helping, we're hurting.
We're hurting. But now, here's some good things. Rejoice always. Be in desire to pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Don't quench the spirit. Test all things. Abstain from every form of evil. There's just enough in those little commands that one chapter could give you your foundation for studying the rest of the scriptures.
Right, right. That's good.
So that when we fall into the furnace of affliction, with hard times, whether it's body, soul, and spirit, we are always willing to accept the forgiveness that Jesus Christ secured for us, dust ourselves off, let us pick ourselves up, and we do have some responsibility there, and start over, or start anew, or continue on. But we are still trusting and not striving to try to make things right in our own strength. And I have seen recently Christians that have started the race great, but as they have allowed the effects of the world to
wane on them,
yes, that they have subtly started to erode like rushing water would erode your foundation.
Mm-hmm.
People who have been solid that have allowed the circumstances to, I don't know if we would say
rob them.
Rob them of the fruitfulness. Their position has not been lost because it was secured by Jesus Christ. But the fruit of their...
Wouldn't that be the crown?
Well, that certainly is going to include...
To rob them of their crown.
Yes, but even just to rob them of their daily walk.
Oh, I see.
To not know how to worship right now when we are called to worship to be well-pleasing to the Lord.
And called to be overcomers.
Yes, that's what this whole lesson is about today, is the wiles of the enemy taking us captive. And again, my favorite verse in the scripture there is 2 Corinthians 11:3. Where Paul actually uses the word fear, concern, that the craftiness of the enemy rob you from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. So instead of keeping the basics simple and guaranteed and then letting the Holy Spirit expand, we are robbed of the very basics of our security in Christ, who we are, who he is in us, and we are in him. And you know, in the red letter edition, the Lord, if you just want to say, he harps on that and he repeats it and he repeats it in about 6 different ways. So we get it. And then the disciples never got it until they saw the death, the resurrection. And when they saw the resurrected Christ and he spoke to them, their eyes were open and their lives changed. And they lived the rest of their lives as overcomers, for whatever availed them, he was sufficient. And that's the life of an overcomer.
So to have a life of an overcomer, we need to take charge of our purchasing power to choose.
Excellent.
Choose life.
Excellent.
But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Jenny Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time. And God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.